Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Morning. Good morning. How many of you can agree with me this morning that it's better to be here than the best hospital in all the world? How many of you can agree we have a lot to be thankful for today? Well, can we just one more time, like you did when you were singing those praises, just lift up your hands and give Jesus a big praise? Can you just give him a big shout of praise? Amen. It's a good day to be together in the Lord. I want to invite you to take notes this morning and open up your hearts to receive part two of our lesson on end times. And the message that the Lord laid on my heart was this focus, and this was the title, to stay focused on Christ in you, the hope of glory in this end time. All of us around the world today, without exception, even those that are lost and don't know anything about Scripture, they understand one thing. Things are different today. Things are changing today. It's difficult to keep up with all of the changes that are in the world. But one thing we do know, there's a lot we don't know, but one thing we do know is the Scripture is a sure foundation that we can base our life on and not be afraid of what's happening any time of any day, because the greater one lives on the inside of us. So I want to read again our text that we looked at last week. It's in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. The Apostle John tells us, "But behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but now notice carefully, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is." And then the Apostle John said, this is that hope that we all have on the inside of us who are born again, that purifies us, that keeps us from all of the entrapments that are in the world. And so today, well, let's continue our thought on understanding what the Lord wants us to see concerning end times. It's not difficult. Jesus said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to those that are without, it is not given." So praise God, we that are washed in the blood of the Lamb, again, we have inside information, and that information is in the Word of God that we're going to look at today. Let's one more time look at our chart that we looked at last week. If you have your chart, you might want to look at it for just a moment. And let's do a very quick review of what we learned last week. We know that there are two comings of the Lord mentioned in Scripture. And very often, saints of God, this is the reason why there seems to be so much confusion in the body of Christ concerning this topic of end times, what we're going to face, what we're going to go through. Because again, you have to rightly divide the Bible. You have to rightly divide the Word of God to decide what coming is the Scripture talking about in this verse or in that verse. And so we see, according to this chart on the overhead, that there are two comings. And I want everybody to help me again this morning, like you did last week. I want you to say this out loud. At the rapture of the church, now everybody do this. We go up. Okay? And then we're with the Lord for 7 years. We receive our rewards with him in heaven. That's called standing before the judgment seat of Christ. We will be blessed. We will receive our rewards. And again, we'll be glorified. We'll have a body just like him. We'll be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in a few moments. But then on the earth, there's going to be a great time of trouble. And I'm going to show you in Scripture, we will not go through that time of trouble, because again, we're going to be with the Lord in the air. At the end of that 7-year period of time, notice on your chart, the Lord comes back to the earth and we're going to come back with him. So everybody hold up your hands and say, at the second coming, we come back. Okay, you got it. See, that way you'll always remember it, that at the rapture we go up, we see the Lord in the air. At the second coming, we come back with him in Jerusalem, where he's going to stand on the Mount of Olives. And again, as I shared in many other places, and we look all around the world today, everybody understands that the highest the most contested piece of real estate in all the world is Jerusalem. And as you look in the news today, we see great strife among nations. In fact, the Bible says that all nations that trouble themselves with Jerusalem shall not prosper. You know, they won't have any answers. They're going to be in turmoil. And so we see that this is the reason why, because the enemy, Satan, and all of his demon cohorts are doing everything they can do to stop the Lord from coming. But you know, he's already a defeated foe. And so we can rejoice to know that when he comes back at the second advent, we're going to come back with him and we're going to rule and reign with him on the earth for 1,000 years. And I think that's good news. Can you give the Lord a shout of praise today? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at a scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:51, because in your Bibles, this chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, is what we call the great resurrection chapter in the Bible. And in this chapter, we have some information that will really answer a lot of questions concerning these two comings. You see, that second coming, when we all come back with him, is recorded in the Old Testament. All through the Old Testament, we find scriptures that prophesy about the Lord's second coming. But this particular coming of being caught up in the clouds, the rapture of the church, was not revealed in the Old Testament. In fact, we don't even have revelation of it in the Gospels. Just maybe a little bit it was alluded to by our Lord Jesus. But this revelation was given to the Apostle Paul. And we see in verse 51, the Apostle Paul in this resurrection chapter tells us, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Now, I want you to understand, saints of God, that word mystery in the original language is from the Greek word mysterion. And that Greek word mysterion means the writings and teachings of ancient Greek fraternities known only to its members. In other words, you had to be a member of that fraternity to understand what they taught. And so the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, coined that Greek word to tell us some inside information. In other words, you and I who are born again, we're in this, if you can call it this, a fraternity. The Bible calls it the body of Christ. He's the head, we're members of his body. We are members of the church, and we're not talking about a man-made organization. We're talking about, as the Greek word church is ekklesia. And the Greek word church, ekklesia, means the called out ones. In fact, the Bible says you have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so we are members of that great ecclesia. And because of that, the Lord says, I'm going to give you information, mysteries, if you please, that the world doesn't understand. And so Paul tells the church of Corinth that we're so concerned about their loved ones that had gone home to be with the Lord earlier. He said, look, I'm going to show you a mystery. Here's some revelation that's not been revealed before. We shall not all sleep. That means we're not all going to die. But we shall all be changed. Now, how fast will we be changed? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So everybody say out loud, I'm going to be changed. Now, I just want to ask you folks this morning, are there any of you here like me that when you see yourself in the mirror sometimes, and I don't mean physically speaking, but I, you know, maybe a little bit, but especially in other areas of your life, you look at yourself through that spiritual mirror and you see foibles and you see frustrations and you see all kinds of things that you want the Lord to continue to work on. Well, and that day, it's going to be changed. It's going to be over, praise God. And we're going to be just like him. Again, we're going to receive a glorified body just like him. And that word, that phrase, in a moment, again, that comes from the Greek word atomos. And that word atomos means an atomic second. It is such a unit of time that is so small, it is literally impossible to be divided again. And so just that fast, before you can blink your eye, we might be out of here this morning. I don't know about you, but that's going to be okay with me if that happens. Amen. Can you give the Lord praise? It's always good to give him praise. And so we know we're going up, and so we will not face that time of great stress. That time of, some have called the tribulation, and the Bible calls it, Jesus called it in Matthew 24, great tribulation, a time of Jacob's trouble upon the earth. We're not going to be here. And so I want to take time to show you from the Word of God, to back up from the Word of God, that sure foundation to prove to you that we will not be here when that happens. Follow me, if you will, please, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This very subject that I'm talking about now, we know that even the early church, they were really confused. And, we don't really need to be confused. I mean, today we have iPhones, iPads, laptops, all the information of mass media that they didn't have in those days. And so the word got back to the Apostle Paul. Paul, they're all confused over there in Thessalonica because the Emperor Nero was beheading and crucifying and killing so many Christians. They actually thought, and some false teachers got in the church and taught them, hey, guys, we missed the rapture. We've been left behind, and we're going through this time of great tribulation that the Apostle Paul talked about that was coming on the earth. And so when Paul got that understanding, when the message came back to him, it may have been through Timothy, we don't know. It may have been through Titus. It may have been through Barnabas, or one of his other helpers. But nonetheless, Paul got the word. And so he prayed for the church at Thessalonica, and the Lord gave him what we have in our Bibles, 1 Thessalonians as well as 2 Thessalonians. Both of those books, the subject of those books are end times. And so and when this service is over and later on this week and later on this month, if you want to understand more understanding about end times, read those two books in your New Testament. And so Paul sat down by the Spirit of God and he penned these words. And we find in 1 Thessalonians 1:19 where Paul said, they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had into you. In other words, he was praising the church that when we entered into your congregation, you received us. And how that you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. Now, notice what else Paul said to these Thessalonians. Not only did they turn to God, but they had in their heart to wait for his Son from heaven. Everyone lift up your hand and say, I'm waiting for the Son of God from heaven. So Paul said, you understand that. I taught you that. You're waiting for the Son of God from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus. Now look what Paul said, which did what? Which delivered us. Now notice the word delivered, everybody, is in the past tense. Now if you look at that phrase, it's really a very strange oxymoron because the event that we're delivered from hasn't taken place yet. So how could it be past tense that we're delivered from it? But in the mind of God, God calls those things which be not as though they were. He knows your future better than you know your past. And God said, as far as I'm concerned, it's already a done deal. I've already delivered you from the wrath to come. You don't have to be afraid about all of the judgments that are coming. You're not going to be part of that judgment that's coming upon the unbelievers. I've already done it. And I want you to know, saints of God, your new birth in Jesus is secure. There is no demon. There is no test. There is no trial. There is no obstacle that will come your way that could ever take you out of or pull you out of the hands of Almighty God. I tell you today that the Lord is faithful. I tell you today that he's more than able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think. And that good work he began in you, he's going to finish it until he comes and takes us home. So don't you ever be afraid about that. As far as God's concerned, tomorrow's a done deal. As far as God's concerned, Tuesday's a done deal. Wednesday's a done deal. Thursday's a done deal. Next month is a done deal. Every day of your life as you walk by faith, God has a road of victory in your life, and it's going to be all right with you. Can you say amen? And then Paul went over into the fifth chapter, and we find in that same letter, verse 1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you don't have any need that I write unto you. And so he's reminding them of what he taught them. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Now, he's not coming as a thief for you and I. You and I, we're in the light. But to the world, he's coming as a thief in the night. And we see in verse 3, for when they shall say, not us, they is the unbeliever. They are those that have blasphemed him. They are those that have rejected him, you see. When they shall say, peace and safety. We've all got it all figured out. We've got the Palestinian issue figured out. We've got the Jerusalem issue figured out. We have the West Bank issue figured out. We have all the other wars that are threatening the world all figured out. Everyone's come to the table. We finally have this agreement. It's all going to be hunky-dory. We've established peace. And Paul said, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them as travail upon a woman, and they shall not escape. Now look at the parallels. But ye, or but you. See, we're not them. We're the members of the church. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. Can you praise God today that you're not in darkness? You are not in darkness that that day would overtake you as a thief, for you are all the children of light. You are all the children of the day. We are not of the night. We are not of darkness. So if we don't sleep as do others. In other words, we don't have a blinder on our eyes. We have this inside information that others don't know. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, we that are born again, we are of the day. Lift up your hand, say, we are of the day. Now I want you to remember that, saints of God, in the days to come. Because when you don't have answers in the natural, by faith, you lift up your hands and you say, I am of the day, Mr. Devil. I am of the light of God. I have light in my path. And I don't care what you say to my mind. I know it's going to be all right. And then we go on where Paul said, let us who are of the day put on the breastplate of faith and love. Now, and for a helmet, everybody take your hand and put it right here on your head. Say, I have on my head. For a helmet, the hope of salvation. What is that? That's that blessed hope that we talked about last week, okay? That the Lord's gonna finish in you what he started in you, so we don't allow our minds to be pulled down by the stress of life. And then we have this hope because look at that very next verse. Paul says it again so you can't let it get by you. I mean, here it is, beyond a shadow of a doubt. God has not appointed us to wrath. Aren't you glad that he didn't appoint you to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ? And so, you know, I want you to understand, when you gave your heart to Jesus, you may not have thought about it that day, but you had an appointment with Lord God Jehovah. And on that day, you responded. On that day, you kept that appointment. On that day, you opened up your heart to him. And so because we kept that appointment and we are washed in the blood of the Lamb, we don't have to worry about this other appointment. We don't have that appointment with wrath. That's for those that have rejected the Lord, and that's for those who have blasphemed his name and don't want anything to do with him. So we see in this letter in two places where Paul makes it plain beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are delivered from the wrath to come and that we don't have to be concerned about going through the tribulation. And I think that's good news. Can someone give God praise? I didn't hear you. Oh, that sounds better. That sounds better, but I think you can do better than that. Can you give him a big praise? Oh, that sounds much better. Much better, yeah. Yeah, and that's what we need to focus on and keep our heart's attention on the good days that lie ahead. Well, a few weeks went by, maybe months. Church historians tell us it could have been up to another year. Paul got word again and said, hey, there's some false teaching going on in the church at Thessalonica again, and they're still concerned. I mean, they've actually sent letters there, Paul, and forged your name on them. They sent letters to the church at Thessalonica and said, hey, things have gotten bad. We're in the tribulation period. I know what Paul said before, but we don't know where he is, but he sent this letter and he's telling everybody, hang on. And you know, how many of you are glad the Lord doesn't want you just to hang on? Anybody glad the Lord doesn't want you just to hang on? You know, I always tell this to folks everywhere, and I'll say it here this morning. The Lord didn't call you to live in hee-haw doctrine. Anybody know what hee-haw doctrine is? Gloom, despair, agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Whoa! Gloom, despair, and agony on me. How many of you are glad the Lord didn't call you to live on barely get along street next to Grumble Alley? Yeah, God has blessings in your life. Blessings in your life. And so this false doctrine had gotten into the church, and they had put their heads down. They had forgotten what the Apostle Paul taught them. And so Paul had to write another letter. And so I want to take you now to his second letter to Thessalonians. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, here in this chapter, we see the both comings mentioned again. In verse 1, we see a reference to the rapture when we're all caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And then verses 2 through 7 is what takes place during that time of tribulation. But then when you get down at verse 8, that verse is talking about the second coming, okay? So before we read these verses, I want everybody to help me again, okay? I can't see you real well, so I'm having to do this by faith. Everybody help me. Say out loud, at verse 1 we go up. Come on, put your hands up. Say, at verse 1 we go up. Okay? Now say this, at verse 8 we come back. Okay? So remember that as we read this, and you're not going to get confused. So here Paul, he begins at verse 1. He says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord. That's the subject, okay? And by, now notice these words very carefully. And by our gathering together unto him. That's verse 1. That's our gathering together unto him. That's when we are going to be caught up. And nobody else is born, unless they're born again, they will not see him. They won't even know what happened. We're going to be here and we're going to disappear. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And it's all going to happen in an atomic second. And all of those that are alive in Christ that have been buried already and their spirits are with the Lord, they're going to come back and their bodies are going to come up out of the grave. They'll be changed with us again in a moment and twinkling of an eye. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. So verse 1 is talking about the rapture when we're all caught up and gathered to meet him in the air. And so Paul reminds them, don't be shaken. Look at verse 2. Don't be so soon shaken in your mind. Don't be troubled. Don't let a spirit trouble you. Don't let a word that comes by, a negative word, trouble you, or a letter asked from us. Do you see it there? See, someone signed Paul's name and forged his name on a letter and said, we're in the tribulation. We missed the rapture and everything's going to be bad. Just hold on and hang on and, you know, you might make it kind of thing. And this was false teaching that gotten in the church. And Paul said, don't let that happen. And so I'm writing you another letter. I'm clarifying to you. That wasn't me that wrote those other letters, is what Paul is saying, that the day of Christ is at hand. In other words, that the day of Christ has already come. It hasn't. So don't be shaken. So everybody say today, I will not be shaken. All right. Then he said in verse 3, don't be deceived. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed. Now that man of sin is the Antichrist. We will never know who he is. He cannot be revealed until verse 1 takes place. We just read it in verse 1. We go up, then the Antichrist has been revealed. Now, John in his letter and many other places says, look, there are many Antichrists, plural, in the world, but not the Antichrist. But when we're gone, verse 1, then the Antichrist will appear. And look what he will do when he appears. Paul said he will exalt himself above all that is called of God or that is worship, so that he's going to declare he is God. He's going to sit in the temple of God, showing that he is God. Now, let me just take a moment and make a very quick comment on this, because this is the event that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, 15. It's the event called the abomination of desolation. We're up in heaven. Remember that. We don't see this happening. But when the Antichrist comes to the surface, he's going to go into that third temple rebuilt by the Jews in Jerusalem. And that third temple has to be rebuilt. And, you know, there are a lot of Jews being born again as I speak. We call them Messianic Jews, but there's going to be a third temple rebuilt. And for the most part, the Jewish nation, they rejected our Lord. They're still looking for the Messiah to come for the first time. So they're going to rebuild that third temple, and it's only going to be done because of the verses in his first letter when he said, when they cry, peace and safety. It's going to come about when we're gone, we're out of here. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene, make a 7-year peace pact with Israel, and make it possible for them to rebuild this third temple. Okay? And right in the middle of that period, here's what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to go into that third temple and sacrifice a pig unto himself, set up an image of himself, and declare to the whole world, I am God, and I now rule over everything. And Jesus told the Jews that were on the earth at that time, when that happens, flee into the mountains and you'll be protected. If you don't, then you're going to be destroyed. And so that's the event that Paul talked about here, again, between the first coming and the second coming. And so Paul said, don't you remember in verse 5, when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth. Now, see, what Paul is saying is, the Antichrist can't be revealed because we, the church, are holding him back. The light of life in the church all around the world is holding the powers of darkness back. Now, the reason we're seeing so much turmoil and evil multiplying exponentially in the world is because we are really getting close to when the Lord catches us up. But until that time, the devil cannot be revealed. The Antichrist cannot be revealed because the greater one that lives on the inside of us is holding the enemy back. You're doing it with your prayer. You're doing it with your giving. You're doing it with your witness. You're holding him back with the light of life that shines on the inside of you, to your family, to your loved ones, your children, your aunts, your uncles, your nephews. The light of life shining on the inside of you is holding back the powers of darkness. And Paul said, now you know what's holding him back. Everybody say out loud, the church is holding back the power of darkness. Now you know. And then he says in verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Yeah, the mystery of iniquity is already at work. And because the mystery of iniquity is already at work, only he who now letteth, that word letteth means restrain. We are the restrainer. He who now letteth or restrains will continue to restrain. Now look at this verse very carefully. I want to slow down. Until he be taken out of the way. That's you and I. We're going to restrain the powers of darkness until we're taken out of the way. So there again, I want you to listen very carefully because I'm speaking by the Spirit of God today. This is for somebody today to get a hold of this. When the enemy comes to your knocking on your door, I want you to know you have authority over every devil. You have authority over every demon. You have authority over every demonic power that comes against you. And you don't have to put your, you know, run out the back door when the devil comes in the front door. All you have to do is put your foot down and say, no, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you're not allowed in my house. You cannot have my children. You cannot have my home. You cannot have my family. You cannot have my church. You cannot have my community. Can someone say amen? Amen. And so we are now restraining him until we are taken away. Now we get to verse 8. And so here's that second coming, all right? Verse 1, the rapture, we go up. Verses 2-7 is what happens during that 7-year tribulation period. But then we get to the end of that tribulation period at verse 8. The Antichrist has been revealed to those that are lost. He's out trying to kill everyone that he can. But then something happens in verse 8. And so in verse 8 it tells us, and when that wicked shall be revealed. Everyone say, that's the Antichrist. Now, okay, I want everybody to help me. Please bear with me a little bit when I have folks to talk to me. I do this all the time in Bible school. I want to know that you get it. When you say it, I know you get it. Say out loud again, I won't be here when the Antichrist comes. Say out loud, I'm not going through the tribulation period. Okay, good. I think all of you have that. And so here at the end of that period, when Satan thinks he's going to rule all the world. And I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, you stop and think about this. It may be possible. The way you see things going on in the world today, it's probably probable that when we're out of here, they're going to say, the aliens came and took them away. Those that don't know God. They're going to say, finally, we got rid of those troublemakers. Finally, we got rid of those good people, you know, good people. Now that may sound strange, but I think all of us are seeing today that the wickedness in the world, they hate those, Paul said, that are doers of good. And so something's going to be said. They're going to come up with something. And right when the Antichrist in the kingdom of Satan thinks he's got all the power of the world now, we're out of here. The restrainer's out of here. And he's thinking, oh, now there's nothing that can stop me. And he sets up his kingdom, the rule over all the earth. the Son of the living God. Yeshua, the God of gods and King of kings, is going to pull another surprise on the enemy. And the Bible says in verse 8, when that wicked one is revealed, the Lord will consume him with the spirit of his mouth and will destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. Glory to God. And the good news is you don't have to be concerned about whether you can ride a beautiful horse or not. We're all going to be riding white chargers when we come back with the Lord. We're all going to be riding these beautiful spirit horses coming back with God. I don't know how he's going to do it, but we're going to be right behind Jesus. And he's going to come, as I said, not to be crucified again, not to be destroyed again, not to be rejected again, not to be sped upon again. He'll never have a crown of thorns put in his head again. He'll never be nailed on a cross again. He'll never go to hell again to pay for your sins and my sins. But no, he's going to come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he's going to sit on the throne of David and going to rule forever, forever and ever and ever. And you and I are going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years on the earth. And then at that 1,000 years, the Lord said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a brand new world. I'm going to make a brand new heaven, and there'll be no more devil. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more rebellion, but only perfect peace forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and time without ending forever. Can someone say amen? Yeah. Eternity is such a long, long time. And so that's what this church is all about. That's what this ministry is all about. That's what your life and ministry is all about. Not only focusing on the hope of glory that is in you, knowing that the Lord's going to keep you from evil, but also we want to reach out in this last hour. I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, this church is a prophetic church. This ministry is a prophetic ministry. The Lord has called this ministry here, now, at this time, for such a time as this, to reap the harvest in this community, to reap the harvest, to bring in all those that are lost before it's eternally too late. And so we've known and we know and we've learned that it's going to be all right. Everyone say out loud, it's going to be all right. We can trust the Lord with our lives. And so as we begin to wrap up our teaching on end times, let's look at just a few more passages of Scripture where it makes it plain that we're going to go up to meet the Lord in the air. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Don't sorrow like others who have no hope. Oh, I am so glad I have a blessed hope. I am so glad for every one of you today that you have a blessed hope. And when we have loved ones that pass and go home to be with the Lord, as Paul said happens, when they die, they go to be with the Lord, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And Paul said, don't sorrow as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Everyone say, I believe that Jesus died and rose again. Then even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, here it is, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul wrote the same kind of comfort to the church at Philippi. And in the book of Philippians chapter 3, he tells us in verse 19 about the wicked that reject the Lord. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. Their glory is in their shame. And they mind earthly things. But our conversation, that word conversation means lifestyle, our attitude, our conversation, our lifestyle is in heaven, from where we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's he going to do when he comes? Here it is again. He's going to change our vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. And then over in Colossians, the church over there in Colossae, which is present day Turkey today, over in that country, there was a church in a city called Colossae. They had to be assured today, just like the church in Cranberry has to be assured. And Paul wrote them a letter and said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, everyone lift up and say, I am risen with Christ. See, I know we're in this auditorium, but we are risen with Christ. Spiritually, positionally, we are seated with him at the right hand of the Father because we are in Christ. We have been risen with Christ. And so Paul said, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall appear with him in glory. And so today, we're here because we've touched his glory. We're here today because we've tasted of his glory. And today, as I speak in this place, there's not one in the balcony. There's not one on my right or in the middle section or over here on my left. There's not one of us in this place today that would take $1 million for the hope that we have in us. There's not one here today that would take $2 million, $10 million. There's not one in this place today that would trade what you have in your Lord Jesus Christ for $1 billion. In fact, there's not one of us in this place that would trade the blessed hope that we have on the inside for all the pleasures that are in the world, because we've tasted and we've seen that the Lord is good. And you and I are here today because we long for more of him. And I want to leave this message with you. It's going to be all right in the days to come. The glory of the Lord is going to appear. The glory of the Lord will appear to your families, to your children. The presence of the Lord, miracles as never before. Visitations of the Lord as never before. His presence is going to sweep over you like billows and waves of love and glory. And he's letting you know, before the end comes, it's going to be all right. I began a good work in you. I'm going to finish that good work in you. Father, in that name that's above every name, we thank you so much for this church today. We thank you so much, Lord, for all of the members thereof and all of the work and all that's being wrought in your name. And so, Father, I want to thank you for the time and the privilege that I've had to share these two Sundays with this precious congregation. And so, Father, I speak a blessing upon them. Father, right now, as I raise my hands up toward them, I surround them. I surround them even right now with my faith and with my love. And Lord, I thank you that should there be one discouraged, I pray, dear Lord, that discouragement will flee. And I pray, Father, that peace that passes understanding will flow to every heart in this place. I pray your peace upon every home, upon every family. I pray your peace, Father, upon all the children, on all the teenagers, on all of the family members. And Lord, I thank you that we don't have anything to be afraid of, because we're going up to see you one day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.